C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, October 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The growth of remote work during the pandemic has made owning a second home an attractive option for many Americans. But as more people use second homes for day-to-day living and not necessarily for a weekend getaway, that raises a surprisingly tricky question. Where exactly do you live?
There's no such thing as a co-primary home, even if you are living, you know, somewhat roughly equally in two different places. You're only able to designate one primary home, even if you're splitting your time between two.
WSJ Mansion reporter E.B. Solomont has been looking into the growth of second home ownership and the financial as well as logistical challenges that go along with it. We'll talk to her about that after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Owning a second home isn't new, but the pandemic and the proliferation of remote work has given rise to the co-primary home lifestyle, where time is equally split between two or more homes. Sounds like a luxury, but it also requires homeowners to meticulously track where they're spending their time, and there are a lot of other easy-to-miss financial implications. E.B. Solomont writes with the WSJ's Mansion section. She's covered the tax, legal, and financial challenges that people who own multiple homes face, and she joins me now. E.B., thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, E.B., who wouldn't love to have a second home, right? But what's at stake here financially? What do people need to keep in mind who own two homes?
Having two homes is great. It definitely sounds great on a rainy northeast day, having a second home in some place warmer. But broadly, you now have the expense of two homes. You have two mortgages in theory. You've got homeowner's insurance for two homes, and you're paying for the upkeep and carrying costs associated with owning two homes. That could be everything from making sure the refrigerator is stocked when you want it to paying taxes. And of course, the big issue is taxes. Generally, states are taxing your income based on your primary residence. And it's only possible to have one primary residence, so you want to make sure that you're not being taxed by multiple states. For years, some states have tried to tax the income of people who work in their state but live elsewhere, maybe taxing income on days that they're in state. For the most part, those policies were relaxed during COVID, but this is really a gray area in tax law right now.
Yeah, let's tackle some of the details that people need to keep track of. What actions can homeowners take to stay ahead of this financial impact and the tax rules?
Sure. So for anyone who has more than one home, keeping track or designating one of the homes as your primary residence is going to be really important. You know, for some people, it might be really clear. You might spend, just significantly more time in one house. If you're really splitting between two homes somewhat equally, you'll want to keep track of how many days you spend in each house. You'll keep track of where you're working. Typically, people with two homes who have one as the primary, they'll have all their mail go to the primary house. They'll have their bills and other important documents go to one house. And that's a really important way to designate and keep clear which is the primary home.
Now, in the eyes of tax laws, why are people required to designate one home as their primary residence, even if they're spending equal amounts of time at the two homes?
Right, that's the catch. There's no such thing as a co-primary home, even if you are living, you know, somewhat roughly equally in two different places. You're only able to designate one primary home, even if you're splitting your time between two. The main thing is that, you know, for tax purposes, your income is taxed based on, you know, your state of domicile and where you live. You don't want to be taxed in multiple places. If you live in one state and you work in another, some states may tax your income for the days that you were working in state. But in general, you don't want to live in, say, New York and have another home in Chicago and split your time, and then both New York and Illinois tax your income. There are also benefits to declaring a primary residence in a different state. First of all, the tax rates vary. There's also benefits to designating a primary residence because state income tax and state property taxes vary state to state. For example, some states have homestead exemptions. That would be, you know, for Florida and Texas, for example. And so there are certain tax benefits there. In some places, a primary home is protected by limits on property tax increases. And then also, this point has to do with selling a home. But, you know, if you have a primary residence and it's been your primary residence, there are certain capital gains exemptions associated with selling a primary residence. So that's also a really significant benefit to designating one property as your primary home.
Now, earlier you mentioned insurance. What kinds of insurance issues usually come up with people who own a second home?
You're going to have insurance on both homes anyway, but insuring a second home historically has been more expensive than insuring a primary residence. And it's somewhat intuitive. In the eyes of an insurer, the homeowner, you know, for a vacation home, for example, the homeowner may not be there most of the time. So if there's a leak or damage of some sort, the homeowner isn't present and may not know about it. And, you know, stands to reason that the damage could get worse before it's found. That is starting to change as this concept of co-primary homes or splitting your time equally between two homes becomes more prevalent. Insurers are coming up with alternatives. But traditionally, that's been the rub.
But just to be clear, second homes don't necessarily have to be fancy or even a place where people live day to day, right?
Right. A second home can be, you know, a relatively modest cabin in the mountains. And just to put things into context, a lot of us think about a second home as, you know, an extreme luxury, but it's also, it can be a really smart investment. There's been a lot of equity created over the past 18 months. And for a lot of people, diversifying their real estate, you know, is a specific financial strategy. You know, if you have, you know, one larger home in one city and that market is rocky, you're pretty exposed. If you've got two or three smaller properties in three different markets, you might be able to weather the storm a little bit better.
Okay, now let's talk about things that don't run up against the tax laws but are still important, like the logistical challenges of having all your personal belongings in the right places.
Right. So if you have more than one home, you definitely need to make sure you know where the important documents are. You know, most of us carry our licenses in a pocket, in a wallet, in our phone, something like that. But important documents, where's your passport? Where are all the car keys? Where's your favorite sweater? Where are your mementos and keepsakes? A lot of people that I have interviewed for my coverage of dual homes, they have two sets of the basics, two sets of clothing, two sets of the favorite coffee maker. But then there are things that, you know, you might not have two of. You might take your laptop with all your work files with you when you move from place to place. One caveat, though, is specifically when you're talking about your documentation, you know, you do want to make sure your documentation is in line with where your primary residence is. If you have two homes and one is your primary residence, you don't want to, say, have a driver's license in the non-primary state. That is something that would raise a red flag for tax authorities who are trying to determine where your income should be taxed.
And what are the personal considerations of having a second home?
The personal considerations are things you might not think of. Everything from, do you have school-age children and where are they going to be in school? Do you have pets? Do they feel at home in both places? Are there doctors and vets for both in both of the places? But then also, where are your family members? Where are your friends? Where's your social circle, your network? If you have one home and all your friends are having a party or a dinner gathering or some celebration in another city, are you going to be left out? Are you going to feel left out? I think that for people who have two homes, many try to just sort of live in the present and focus on where they are and not where they want to be. But FOMO can be a very real thing.
Ah, FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Correct.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter E.B. Solomons. E.B., thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schweiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.